You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. We're at more or less the midway point, a little past it, and so it's time for a little look back to the first half and look ahead to the second. And I think the Mets are one of those teams where this is a really interesting question. They're two games over 500. They're three games out of the division lead. They're very much in the hunt, and yet it times has felt like a frustrating or disappointing season. So first of all, just kind of big picture, how do you grade this first half? Has it been basically good, basically not good, somewhere in between? How do you kind of assess where the Mets are at this point?
It's sort of been a first half of two extremes, and only just now recently are they starting to middle out, because you know you had the first half of April, really most of April, where they were great. They were one of the best teams in baseball. They won 11 in a row. They were hitting not a ton, but they were certainly hitting enough, and they were pitching amazingly. And there's no surprise why they were in first place at that point. Really, since the day that 11-game winning streak ended, and for about the next 2 months or so, they were one of the worst teams in baseball. Record-wise, there was a long stretch where only the Phillies were worse. And while the pitching was still great, they just weren't hitting at all. They're still really not hitting, but they've managed to level it out. The pitching's been even better somehow, which is incredible to me. So, you know, going 4-2 on a 6-game West Coast trip that really, you know, going into it, you looked at it and you said, this could be a disaster for them. Well, it wasn't. It was actually great for them. So maybe they're over that hump. Maybe they are getting to a point now where, in July, with the trading deadline coming up, they can do some things. They can improve in a more consistent way and really make a race out of this. Because, you know, we saw it in April, they can be a very good team. We saw it in May, they can be a very bad team. And whichever they wind up being in the second half is ultimately going to determine their fate.
It seems like, and it doesn't even seem like, it's true, that by and large, the lineup has been what's held them back when they haven't won. If you could point to one or two reasons that has been the case, that they haven't hit more, because I don't think people thought it was going to be a bad offense. I don't think we thought it was going to be a juggernaut. I don't think anybody thought they were going to struggle this much. What is it that's missing most about this lineup that's keeping it from being good enough for them to be where they want to be?
Well, the company line is injuries, and there's definitely some truth to that. They haven't had David Wright for all but 8 games this year, which obviously is not ideal. Travis d'Arnaud has made multiple trips to the disabled list, and he's been one of their best hitters when healthy. He just hasn't been healthy very often. They went a long stretch without Daniel Murphy, and so on and so forth. They just really haven't had their full complement of hitters for almost all of this season, and that's hurt. You know, but the other side of that is that happens to a lot of teams, maybe not to this extreme, but it's not that the Mets are unique in that aspect. What's really hurt them just as much, if not more, is they just haven't had any stretch of time where they've really had two or three guys get it going at once. You know, they had a little stretch where Curtis Granderson carried them. Great. No one else was hitting at that time. They had a little stretch where Michael Kadire was hot, but that was surrounded by stretches and where really he just looked lost at the plate. Now he's dealing with a knee injury, and that's hurt them. And, you know, you can sort of go up and down. Wilmer Flores was hot for a while. He was ice cold for a while. And you can just go up and down 1-8. They really haven't had even a week where, like, 2 or 3, even 4 guys are hitting. And it's really hard to sustain rallies that way, especially when you have an offense like the Mets that's not really a power-hitting team. They don't hit a lot of home runs, so they're not going to have a big inning. They need to string together 3-4 hits, draw some walks and innings if they want to put up a really crooked number. And just the way it's been going, the way they've struggled to put those consistent at-bats together, have those consistent stretches from multiple guys, has just really undermined them.
What's the single biggest pleasant surprise of the first half for the Mets?
Single biggest pleasant surprise, in my mind, it's probably Jacob DeGrom. And not that I didn't think he was going to be good. I think everyone assumes he would be good again. but he's been well beyond good. What he's doing now is pretty comparable to what Matt Harvey did 2 years ago. I mean, Jacob deGrom is unquestionably the best pitcher on the staff right now. He is probably one of the top five pitchers in the major leagues. You know, you can go back a year, you can go back 9 months, 15 months, whatever window of time you want to look at, and it's pretty much every statistical category you can look up. It's Jacob deGrom and Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw are the guys who lead them. So the fact that this guy, and we talked about him so much last year, came out of nowhere, was never really a blue chip prospect. The fact that he went on to win Rookie of the Year last year, but has come on this year and is only getting better. You know, his velocity's up. He's as this season has gone on, his strikeout rate has been up, and his walk rate is way down from what it was already minuscule last year. The fact that he has just developed into this superstar pitcher, essentially, is surprising to me, and one of the key reasons why the Mets are afloat as they are.
What's the biggest disappointment on the field so far?
Biggest disappointment would have to be David Wright. I mean, you know, we went into this season and, you know, you asked me at the time what was the most critical player for the Mets. I said, absolutely, it's David Wright, because he was sort of at a career crossroads coming into this year. Can he stay healthy? Can he still be an effective hitter as he gets into his early to mid-30s? And now all of a sudden you have a major injury where not only this season, but his future career is in doubt. That's just a monstrous blow for the Mets. And, you know, you wonder how and if he's going to be able to recover from this, how and if the Mets are going to be able to recover both on the field and off the field. Or, you know, one of the biggest presence in the clubhouse in franchise history, really, you're talking about. And also one of the best hitters in franchise history. So the fact that he's only played 8 games this year, the fact that we're getting into the All-Star break and we still don't really know when he's going to come back, if he can even help the team when he comes back, what kind of hitter, how often he's going to be able to play. There's just so many question marks surrounding David Wright at this point. And that's just, you know, looking at it from where we were in March, it's just a huge disappointment for the Mets to not be able to answer those questions.
It might be the same answer he just gave, but what's the number one storyline to watch for the Mets in the second half?
Well, yeah, that kind of is the same answer. I mean, it's definitely David Wright. What happens with him? And both, like I said, both in the second half and going forward here, because this guy's still under contract through 2020. He is still a massive part of the organization's future plans. And, you know, if he has some sort of major setback, or if it becomes clear that just he's never going to do the same, I mean, that's a huge franchise-altering thing for this team. So, you know, you hope we'll get some answers in the next month or so, and we'll really be able to figure out what this guy is going forward. But he's just so important to every single thing the organization does. Yeah, he's absolutely the one to watch.
With the acknowledgement that this is not an organization that pushes all its chips in the table into the middle of the table almost ever on much of anything, what's one move that this team needs to make between now and the deadline to really get where it wants to go?
Well, they need another hitter. I mean, and I don't care if you want to get, say, a Ben Zobrist type who can fill in the infield, or if you want to make a push for the outfield. And it doesn't have to be a major push. You don't have to go out and get Justin Upton. You know, while that would help, obviously, but someone who can be an impact bat, even if it's 3-4 days a week, they need to do something. They're clearly not willing to give up one of their big four starting pitchers to do that. Fine. I don't begrudge them that. I don't necessarily think they should. But the 1-8 that they trotted out every night in the first half just didn't get it done more often than not. And without changing that, without adding some sort of bat who can make a difference, who can hit some home runs, who can add some power production to the club, you know, it's hard to envision anything more than a lot of the same in the second half.
So give me a prediction. Where does this team finish the season? Do they make the postseason?
I think on this podcast, you know, in March, I said, I'm not sure either way, but I can tell you in the last week of the season, they will be fighting for something. I think they're kind of in the same place. I wouldn't change that prediction very much. I do think they're going to keep it interesting the whole way down. It would surprise me if they're out of it on September 15th. It would surprise me if they have anything sewn up at that point. And I think that's essentially where they are. The pitching is good enough to keep them in it. the hitting is in a state where it's going to be a struggle. So, you know, the Nationals have yet to pull away, despite the Mets' best efforts at times to let them do it. There's really not a ton of teams in the wild card right now that you're scared of pulling away. I think the Mets are going to be keeping close eyes on the Pirates, on the Giants, who they took 2 of 3 from this week. But I expect them to be right there. Whether or not they make it, I think it's going to come down to a couple games, a couple bounces, all that. But, yeah, I expect them to be right on the fringe once we get into the late weeks of September.
All right. Well, Anthony DeComo, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.